I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So good to see all of you in the house of the Lord this morning. And a very warm welcome to all who come from overseas, and those who come from interstate, and those who are visiting with us. A very, very special welcome to you. And those who have been with us and then didn't come for some time, we are so happy to see you this morning. May you continue to come and worship with us and to fellowship with us. We love to fellowship with you, so do come back and worship with us. Time passes so very quickly. We are now into the first month of winter, in fact, the middle of the first month already, and very soon winter will be over. You see, time passes so very, very quickly. Each season passes so quickly. Every year passes so very, very quickly. Very soon, 2017 will be over. If you don't believe me, I say it will be over very soon. Now, the question that I like all of us to pose to ourselves is, what have we been doing for the Lord? I mean, I'm not just saying this to nag you all, but just to remind you and to remind myself that we must be urgently serving the Lord. For soon, we will hear the midnight cry and the Lord will be here. And the question that we have to answer is, what have we done for Him? What kind of account would we be giving unto the Lord when we see Him face to face? The subject this morning is, you don't get away with backsliding. You don't get away with backsliding. And the verse we read earlier is this verse, Proverbs 14:14. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. A backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. In other words, a backslider will be rewarded. He will be rewarded with punishment by his backslidden ways. That's what it means. He will be rewarded with the punishment by his backslidden ways. You sow what you reap what you sow. We see this advertisement on television which speaks out against smoking. I think you know this advertisement. It features a very skinny woman. Yes, and she tries to send up a message, but you do not know what she's talking about. Yes, you can't make out what she's talking about. And what you hear are just a series of vowels. That's all. And you can't make out what she says. She can't pronounce consonants, so there are no T's, no V's, no R's, no S, and so forth. It's just, that's all. You know why? Because she suffered from cancer of the throat because of smoking. And there is a hole on her neck, and she has to cover that hole with a scarf. And then she wears dentures, and she wears a wig. And the message essentially sent out by her is this: don't make the same mistake as I made. This, what I have, is the consequence of my smoking in the earlier part of my life. And then a picture is shown of her former life. She was actually a very good-looking, or she was a very good-looking woman. But then her present state is completely different. Yes, don't make the same mistake as I made. You reap what you sow. Now, spiritually, the same principle applies. You reap what you sow. You backslide, and you will have to face the consequences of your backslidden ways. A person who backslides allows what is known as the evil of leaven to leaven his heart, or leaven his life. And what is leaven? Leaven is an agent or a substance that causes a lump of dough to swell. And a person who backslides allows this evil of leaven to sour his life. Once he was rejoicing in the Lord because he was having this great joy of salvation. Yes, he knew that his sins were forgiven. But now all the rejoicing is gone. He threw away all the wonderful graces and privileges that were given to him. He loses his joy of salvation. He loses the real meaning of life. Once upon a time, when he was walking close with the Lord, he sensed the real meaning of life. But now he thinks that life is meaningless. Once he tasted of the goodness of the Lord, but now what does he feed on? daily he does not feed on the word of God, he feeds on squirrels that are fit for pigs, even the squirrels of the world. Has once he had great spiritual food, even the word of God, and he was walking in sweet fellowship with the Lord. But now, no longer. He loses his testimony. He prefers to serve self, the world, and the devil. And he loses his privilege to serve the one true living God, the King of Kings. Now, he does not lose his salvation because he's a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know what he loses? He loses his assurance of salvation. He can't tell whether he's saved or not. How sad. Now today you are sitting in this congregation. As I said many times before, I really do not know your heart. You know what your heart is. Maybe you have deceived yourself to the extent that you might not even know the condition of your heart. Yes, you look every inch a believer. Yes, you come to church and you look very spiritual because you carry a Bible with you. And then when we sing the hymns, you sing the hymns also. When we pray, you pray. And you even give an offering. But whether you are living close to the Lord or not, only you know. Yes. And the Lord knows, of course, whether you are walking close to him or not, because the Lord sees not only the outside, but he sees the inside as well. I trust this morning as you listen to God's word, you will take heed to God's word, lest you backslide. Or, if you have been living in the backsliding condition this morning upon hearing God's word, you will come back to him. You will repent and say, Lord, I want to walk close with you again. Now, what is a backslider? Now, there is a type of people who look like they are backsliders, but they are actually not backsliders. They are in a worse condition than backsliders. They look like they are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, but in reality, they are not. They can be very closely associated with believers in the Lord. Yes, closely associated with godly people. They could be singing in the choir. They could be Sunday school teachers. They could be participating even in the church prayer meeting. Yes, or they could be serving as deacons in the church, or even elders in the church, or even pastors in the church. They appear every inch a Christian, a believer. Yes, but in truth, my dear friends, they are not. Now, the truth eventually will have to surface. You remember the case of Judas. Judas walked 3 years with the Lord. Now, you look at Judas in those years, in those days, you say Judas was every inch a believer, every inch an apostle, because he was like the other apostles. He preached. In fact, he held a very important position in the Lord's company. He was the treasurer in the Lord's company, and he also performed signs and wonders as an apostle. But the day came when this man showed his true colors. He showed that he was indeed one who was very covetous. Yes, and so he sold the Lord Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver. Now, what do you call such people? My dear friends, you call them traitors. They are apostates. They know the truth. They seem to embrace the truth. But friends, they don't really embrace the truth. And finally, you see them falling away from the truth. And today, there are many such church leaders. You look around, you see them. Theologians, seminarians, professors in theology. But in truth, my dear friends, they are apostates. They deny the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. They deny the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then if they read the Bible, they invariably will make use of versions that are corrupt. Yes. And they are advocates of the LGBT movement. Now, does not the Lord know their hearts? Of course the Lord knows their hearts. One day their way will come home to them. They will be filled with their own ways. Now, despite their apostate ways, in spite of the fact that they have actually completely fallen away from the truth, they think that they have a place in heaven. But you know what the Lord says to such people? In Matthew 7, 21 to 23, I'd like us to look at these three very familiar verses. Matthew 7, 21 to 23. Three familiar verses. Now, this is what the Lord has to say about these apostates, false teachers. Yes, False believers, Matthew 7:21-23. The Lord says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name?" In other words, have we not preached in your name? "And in thy name have cast out devils, I performed great and wonderful works, and in thy name done many wonderful works." In other words, I performed signs and wonders. 23, "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Now these were people, or these are people who do not do the will of the Lord. My dear friends, these are the people who do not act in obedience to the word of God. Make sure, my dear friends, that you are not an apostate. Make sure that your belief in the Lord Jesus Christ is true, based on the word of God. And make sure that you are doing his will. My dear friends, you can profess to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, but if you are not doing his will, you are not a true believer. And what is meant by doing his will? Doing his will simply means obeying his word, living a life that is in complete obedience to his word. I'm not saying that salvation is by works. No, by no means. But if you truly have put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then your life should be manifested by your obedience to the will of God. In other words, every day you will want to live in accordance to the word of God, in accordance to his laws. Now let us talk about the backslider. Now first, the first kind of backslider is the backslider that backslides into open sin. He started off well. He's one who is genuinely born again. He walked close to the Lord, but then the bright lights of the world caught his attention. In the word of God, we had such a man who was taken away by bright lights. He was none other than Lot, the nephew of Abraham. He built his tent toward the wicked city of Sodom. And he and his family were very, very attracted by the bright lights of Sodom. And in time, he and family moved into the city of Sodom and they embraced the lifestyle of Sodom. Yes, my dear friends, that's what a backslider who backslides into an open sin would do. Like Lot and family went into the city of Sodom and embraced the lifestyle of the city of Sodom. Yes, friends, let's also understand that worldliness is not just around us. Worldliness is in fact in us. I like us to refer to 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. You see that worldliness is not just around us, but worldliness is indeed in us. 1 John 2:15-16. I read for you the two verses, all right? 1 John 2:15. "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the world, but is not of the Father, but is of the world." Sure, worldliness is around us. Yes, as we see in the world, we see worldliness in the system and the order of the world. The system and order that are around us very often are designed by people for selfish gains and for selfish benefits. And if we see the world in its lifestyle, a lifestyle that is not God-fearing, a lifestyle that has got lots of loose morals. And then we see the world in the kind of a sense of values that it has. People live for the present. They live only for the temporal. They are not interested in things that count for eternity. Yes, that's the kind of sense of values that we see in the world. But friends, worldliness is also in us, not just in the order and system, lifestyle, and the sense of values around us. But worldliness is also in us. It exists as the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It exists as a very, very powerful desire. That's what the word lust means. It exists as a very powerful desire to satisfy our sinful flesh, our sinful nature. It desires as a very, very powerful desire to satisfy our eyes. What we see, we must have. And it exists as pride in us. Yes, there is this great desire to be great, to be powerful, to be noticed. And then, of course, to if we are want to be great and we are want to be powerful, we can be driven to become very, very covetous. Now, if we succumb to these desires, of course, we will backslide. Yes, we succumb to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. We backslide. And how do we show it? How do we show this backsliding condition? Of course, we show it by the way we live, by the way we talk, by the way we eat, by the way we spend our money, and by the way we dress, by the way we set our priorities in life. Yes, we are no different from people in the world. We blend very well with them. But God's way is this. God says it very, very clearly in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. But the person who backslides into an open sin has removed this purpose from his life. No longer does he do all things to glorify God. No, he's not interested in that. Whether he eats or he drinks or whatsoever he does it for what? To satisfy the lust of his flesh, the lust of his eyes, and his pride of life. My dear friends, is that you or is that me? Let's seriously search ourselves. But as we said, the backslider is still a believer, a true believer, because he truly came to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. He still has spiritual life in him. But friends, the Lord may have to deal very, very severely with him to teach him valuable lessons so that he will repent and come back to the Lord. The Lord may have to hand down upon him a very, very severe chastisement. Now you take the example of David. He backslided and he succumbed to what? He succumbed to the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh, and he committed adultery with this woman, Bathsheba. Caused her to be pregnant, and in order to marry her, he had her husband Uriah killed. Yes. So what did the Lord do? This was a man who was supposed to be after God's own heart. So God had to chastise him. And the chastisement upon him was very, very heavy because David had to pay fourfold. Yes, we'll talk a little bit more about that later. And David repented. But you know, after his repentance, David was not quite the same as before. If you read 2 Samuel, after his backsliding, you find that in the latter part of that book, you know, it records a series of upheavals in his life, in his family, troubles upon troubles in his family after that. David, who was a great harpist, great composer of music, great singer of praises unto the Lord, I dare believe could not sing the same as he did before. Likewise, my dear friends, when we backslide and sin openly, it is difficult for us to sing with the same kind of joy as we did before. You know what can happen to us if we backslide? We can become cast away. Paul was very, very fearful of that, of being a cast away. If we are cast away, then we would no longer be of use for the Lord. Before we backslided, he gave us great privileges to serve. To serve as preachers, perhaps, to serve as Sunday school teachers, to serve as youth leaders, to serve as session leaders, to serve as musicians. But after we have backslidden, we have become castaways. You know, we destroyed the privileges that the Lord has given to us. You know what has happened to us? A stigma has been placed upon us. And whenever people look at us, they say, this guy, he's sinned. All right. They forget about that the person has repented. But every time people look at that person, they'll say he had sinned. Yes. You see, that's the problem. If we backslide, we can go into such a position to the extent that a stigma is placed upon us, and we find it very, very hard to serve again. Even though we want to serve, people might not want us to serve. A certain church member had not been right with the Lord. It was true, she was deserted by her husband. But then she also did something that was not right. After she was deserted by her husband, she had an affair with a man. And I believe that that relationship was an illicit one. Could she come back to the church to serve in the church? It was very, very difficult for her to serve because she had already placed on herself that stigma. Occasionally she did come back to the church. Yes, but when she came back, very often she will be seated in a very inconspicuous corner in the church. She will not sit in some prominent position. You know, it's very regretful that such a thing should happen to that lady, because I knew that lady. She was very, very talented. She spoke well, she wrote well, and she was quick-witted, and she was one who was very creative. And she was actually a very effective Sunday school teacher before she backslided. You know, if she had continued to serve and if she had continued to develop her talents, she could have been a very, very marvelous servant for the Lord. But she threw away all those privileges. She threw away the graces that the Lord gave to her. A stigma was placed on her. Impossible for her to come back to serve. So friends, let's value the privileges which the Lord has given to us. The joy of salvation, the joy of the Lord, the joy of service. Don't take all these things for granted, my dear friends. Do not allow our backsliding to destroy them. We must walk close to Him. Daily we must hide His word in our heart. Not just commit the word to memory, but let His word operate in our lives, to control our lives. Let His word be put into action in our lives. And we must seek communion with Him through prayer. And we must daily reckon ourselves, the old man in us, as being dead, crucified with the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we can say that today we are dead to sin and alive unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And by His resurrection power, all of us who are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ must have the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ in them. Yes, all of us. And by this resurrection power, let us live lives that are victorious, glorifying to the Lord. Now, but we might say that, but I'm not David. David's example is too extreme. Yes, I would never commit adultery like the way David did. I would never commit murder like the way David did. But friends, there's another kind of backsliding that we can easily identify with. And that is backsliding in a manner which is almost imperceptibly. That's how we backslide. We backslide almost imperceptibly. The backslider declines from his spiritual high, you might say. Yes, he could be blessed maybe at a Bible camp and blessed by the word of God, and he was very much stirred up to serve the Lord. Or he could have gone to some great spiritual meetings and he was very, very much revived in the spirit, touched by the word of God. Or in his private meditation, he could read God's word, and then he was very, very blessed, stirred up to serve the Lord. But then what happened? What happens to him is that he gets distracted by the world. Yes, he gets distracted by the cares of the world. Now, not all cares are bad. The cares of the world can be bad, can be good. They can be legitimate. But friends, if they take us away from the Lord Jesus Christ, then they are not good. You see, so they could be legitimate, but friends, they might just take our attention away from the Lord. We might be so involved, so engrossed in our studies, which is of course legitimate, could be so engrossed in our work, which is of course legitimate, but friends, we get so engrossed to the extent that we get distracted from the Lord. We no longer give the Lord wholehearted attention. And when that happens, of course that is bad. So when that happens, the joyous Christian life is gone. No more praises for the Lord. In place of praises for the Lord, we substitute the praises with what? With grumblings, with murmurings, with discontentment. And then we look at our work. The day's work seems to be like a chore. Yes, sometimes the work can be so meaningless. Yes, when we look at our work. Now, if you are in this state, you are in a backsliding position, you must quickly come back to the Lord. Confess your coldness. Confess your lack of love for Him. But if you let this backsliding condition settle in your life, in time, my dear friends, you might just backslide into an open sin. And then you will be in very, very serious trouble. Now, how does a person backslide? Now, the fact that he backslides means that he doesn't go forward. He goes backwards. Now, the Christian life is an upward hill climb. Daily, we are to work out our salvation with fear and with trembling. It is a daily crucifixion. Yes, daily crucifixion. Every day we must reckon ourselves, the old man in us, as having been crucified with the Lord Jesus Christ. Like Paul, every day we must be saying, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It is no longer I that live in me, but Christ lives in me. My old man, the sinful self, has been crucified with the Lord Jesus Christ. That process, or that reckoning must take place every day. And then daily, it is a case of our pressing forward, pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Every day we must be pressing toward that mark, that prize. There is this heavenly call from above. Our Lord calls us to get hold of that prize, to focus on that prize. And what is that prize, my dear friends, which we are to press toward? That prize is the crown of glory, crown of life, crown of righteousness, and a crown of rejoicing. I don't know which crown, but friends, it is a crown that we are to press forward to get hold of. Yes, and daily it must be a pressing forward with great urgency, every day. The hymn writer says, it is not an easy road. We are traveling to heaven, for many are the thorns on the way. Daily, we are actually swimming against the tide, swimming against the flow. The moment we take it easy, you think you're going to stand still? No, the moment we take it easy, we are going to go backwards. So there is no let up, no such a thing as taking it easy. We must be moving forward all the time. Now let us realize that the great King David was at his spiritual best when he was engaged in the battlefields, fighting the battles for the Lord. But look at what happened to him when this man, the great man of God, took it easy. I refer you to 2 Samuel chapter 11. Here's again some familiar verses. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. Look at what this man did. A great man of God, but see what he did. 2 Samuel 11 and verse 1. 2 Samuel 11 and verse 1. I read for you. And it came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab his servants with him and all Israel. And they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But you see the big but here. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. He didn't go up to war. It was the season for kings to go out to fight their battles, to go to war. But what did he do? He had his holiday in the city of Jerusalem. Verse 2. And it came to pass in an eventide that David arose from off his bed. You know, he woke up in the evening, which means that he had an afternoon nap. All right? And walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, Bathsheba. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. So you see, he took it easy. As a result of which, he backslided. He committed this terrible sin of adultery with this woman and caused her to be pregnant. My dear friends, yes, let's learn great lessons from great men so that we do not make the same mistakes as they made. David took it easy and he backslided. If we take it easy in spiritual things, if we are not careful, not diligent in the way we do our quiet time, we are going to backslide for sure. Let's never take it easy, but be very, very diligent. Every day working out our salvation with fear and with trembling. How else do we backslide? The scary thing is we backslide without knowing it. Just now we talk about backsliding almost imperceptibly. Now the scary thing is we backslide without knowing that we have backslidden. Little by little we slide backwards. Now if we stood next to a cliff, we know just how deep and how steep the cliff is. And chances are we won't stand near the cliff. But backsliding without knowing that we are backsliding is not like falling over a cliff. It's rather more like walking down a good mountain road. You go down, but you don't realize that you're going down. But you are going down. It's a good mountain road. It goes down, and you are going down that mountain road. That is what backsliding, that form of backsliding is very, very scary. So how do we go down? I can tell you this, we go down, we always go down in this way. It begins with our quiet time. Always, it always begins with our quiet time. First, we become careless about our quiet time. We rush through our quiet time, careless about our quiet time, and then we begin to miss our quiet time. And in time, we might just forget about doing our quiet time. And then the next thing that can happen to us, or maybe concurrently, is that we become irregular at the church prayer meeting, or at the church spiritual meetings, Bible studies, and so forth. We become irregular in our participation at these meetings. And eventually, we just drop out of these meetings. We don't care to go again. And then another thing that can happen is this. Yes, in time, we drop out of prayer meetings, drop out of spiritual meetings. We might even become careless about coming to the house of the Lord to worship Him. And there might come a time when we totally neglect coming to the house of the Lord to worship Him. To us, that is no longer important in our lives. But dear friends, let us be very, very careful. That is how we backslide. We can be overtaken by our backsliding unawares. Let us be very, very diligent in keeping close to Him. Now, I do not know about your experience, but I've spoken to people who have backslidden. The question I ask usually is this: how are you doing your quiet time? Invariably, if that person is honest, he would say, I've stopped doing my quiet time. Or, I have been irregular in doing my quiet time. Invariably, those will be the answers. So, my dear friends, make sure that we diligently do our quiet time. So, I ask you this morning, are you doing your quiet time? How seriously are you doing your quiet time? How seriously am I doing my quiet time? Or are we very careless about our quiet time? My dear friends, let's not be careless about our quiet time. Because if we are careless, we are going to backslide. And then in time, my dear friends, we might just backslide into an open sin. Now, where does the backsliding begin from? In Proverbs 14:14, we read, the backslider is called the backslider in heart. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. Backsliding begins in the heart. Now, this is what the Lord Jesus Christ says about the heart that is wicked, all right? Look at Matthew chapter 15, verses 17 to 20. He talks about the heart, possibly of a man who is not converted. Matthew 15, 17 to 20. Matthew 15, 17 to 20, verse 17. Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the trough. And that is true. Whatever we eat, the things that we eat will be passed out. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. Yes. Wickedness comes from the heart. So when we backslide, the start of the backsliding always begins with the heart. Now we know the physical heart of ours is vitally important. If the heart stops ticking in just a few minutes, we'll be dead. And friends, more important than the physical heart is the spiritual heart, which is the center of our being. When we talk about the heart, our heart is actually the center of our being. If it is an unregenerated heart, a heart of a person who is not born again, that heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. But once a person is born again, the heart becomes a heart of flesh. And the Lord Jesus comes to dwell in that heart. And for us to have a healthy spiritual life, the Lord Jesus Christ must be the master of the heart. He must be the Lord of the heart. Yes, which means he must be given first place in the heart. He must be given first place in the heart. But when we dethrone the Lord, when the heart, the first place of the heart is given to self and to the devil and to the world, we backslide. how we need to have this heart of ours cleansed every day by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every day we need to repent from our sins. Now there is this teaching that is false that is going round. This teaching says that you have only to repent once, and that is when you come and believe in the Lord, when you come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you just have to repent once and that's all. And after that, you're all right. You don't have to repent anymore. That is a lie, my dear friends. Every day we sin, and every day we must repent from our sins. Our sins must be cleansed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ every day. Right? We don't lose our salvation, okay, when we backslide. Remember that. But friends, if this heart is not kept clean, we can very well backslide. And we can very well backslide into an open sin. Now the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. In other words, his evil ways will come back to punish him. He first falls out of God's way, and then he falls into his own ways. Now he's tired of holy things. He's not interested in Bible study. He's not talking about answers to prayer. You know why he's not interested to talk about answers to prayer? He's not interested because he doesn't pray. That's why he's not interested to talk about answers to prayer. He's not interested in soul winning. He gives all kinds of excuses for not participating in holy activities. You see, that for him, there is always something more important than holy things, something more important than spiritual things. There's always something more important than the Bible study, something always more important than the family worship, something always more important than the church prayer meeting. And then there will come a time when something will be more important than the church worship service, and he won't come to church to worship. But friends, such people always have time for recreations. Yes, their ways are worldly. Worldliness first puts one foot into the heart of that person, and eventually worldliness takes the whole heart, and it displaces the rightful owner of the heart, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this question today. Who owns your heart today? Is it worldliness or is it the Lord Jesus Christ? Who owns your heart? My dear friends, I trust all of us are able to say that the Lord Jesus Christ is the owner of my heart today. Now, the next stage of the way the backslider might get into is that he backslides to a point where he could be very proud of his sinful condition. You know, he backslides and he's proud of his sinful condition. Not that he thinks that what he's doing is all right. He doesn't think that everything is going well with him, because he is a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he realizes that what he is doing is not right. But then he has to defend his position. He knows that his action is not right, lifestyle not right, but he still has to defend his position. So he has to speak loudly for them. And so he comes across as being proud of his sinful ways. Not too long ago, I spoke to someone who actually backslided. And I asked him, how are you getting on? He says, I'm fine. Yes, I said, how are you? And he said, I am on the rise. Can you imagine that? He is backslidden. He said, I am on the rise. How sad to hear that from someone who once was serving the Lord diligently. Now the person who backslides looks at people in the church who are walking close to the Lord. And you know what he says? These people are so strict, too puritanical. They are of heavenly good but of no earthly use, so they say. And then such people are very, very inclined to give good names to their evil ways. Yes, I said this before. When they are greedy, they say, I'm being wise. When they are stingy, they say, I'm being economical. And when they are dishonest, they say, I'm shrewd, I'm clever, I'm smart. Friends, I trust that none of us have backslidden to the point where we behave in this manner. Then the next stage of the way that fills his heart is really something that is very pathetic. His sinful ways always come back to him. He slides back to a point where he cannot pray. How sad when a person backslides to a point where he cannot pray. He goes down on his knees, but he feels that he's talking to himself, not talking to God. God's word, which was once a love letter which he delighted to read in, now it's a dead letter. It's all down to him. It means nothing to him. And he is very, very critical of everything in the church. He criticizes the preacher. He says the preacher's preaching is dry, when once upon a time, the preaching of the preacher used to bless his heart. That person is really spiritually sick. Now, if you are sick with a temperature, I can give you your best, the food that you like most of all. My dear friends, you'll still be very nauseated by the food. Yes, you have no taste for it, you have no liking for it. It's very nauseating to you. It's the same, my dear friends, with regards to a person who backslides. You can give him the best spiritual food, it will be very nauseating to him. And he says people in the church are hypocritical, people in the church do not have love, and so on and so forth. Lots of complaints about other people, particularly people in the church. Now, another way that fills him is to experience the grief of his own way being copied by his children. That is the saddest thing to happen, to experience the grief of his own ways being copied by his children. You look at the case of David. David committed adultery with Bathsheba. You know, he was outdone by his son, Amnon. What did his son do? His son raped his half-sister, Tamar. Yes, he committed incest, he raped his half-sister. That was the sin that he was guilty of. What David did was sinful. What his son did was even more sinful than what he did. He was outdone by his son. And then David committed murder. Now what did his son Absalom do? Absalom murdered his brother Amnon, who committed, who raped his half-sister, who was actually the full sister of this son of David, Absalom. Absalom killed Amnon. So you see, first, the rape. Number two, Amnon was killed by his half-brother Absalom. And number three, Absalom. What happened to Absalom? David had to pay fourfold, as we said. Absalom was later on killed by David's general because Absalom wanted to usurp the king, the throne of the king. And then another son of David actually was killed by another son of David, was killed by King Solomon. Yes, that son was none other than Adonijah. So, my dear friends, what evil way David was guilty of, he was actually outdone by his children. Now you ask this question, could David track his children? Could David discipline his children? Answer, yes or no? Yes or no? He could. He could not. The truth is, could not. You know why? Because he set a terrible example for them. And that is how the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. Friends, if a man backslides, his ways will come back to haunt him. A man who throws lots of social parties and lives a life of low moral, one day will see his sons and his daughters living with loose morals. It's almost inevitable. Remember, David was chastised by the Lord and he had to pay four times for the wrong that he committed. True, God forgave him, but his backslidden ways came back to haunt him. Now, friends, let us take heed to the word of God. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. Yes, his own ways will come back to reward him with punishment. And let us remember that we must work out our salvation with fear and with trembling if we do not want to backslide. And the way of the cross is the right way for us to go. It is a straight and narrow way. It is the upward way. We cannot relax. The moment we relax, the moment we take it easy, we slide backwards. David was doing very well, as we know, spiritually, when he was out in the battlefields fighting. It was when he took it easy, when he had that holiday in the city of Jerusalem, at the seasons when kings went out to war, that he backslided. Our backsliding can be so subtle, it can overtake us unawares. Before long, we might just backslide into an open sin. And when we are in that backslidden position, the Lord's hand, of course, is a loving hand. Yes, he wants us to come back to him. But the chastisement that is handed down by the Lord to us if we backslide can be very, very heavy. Always remember the case of David. He had to pay fourfold. Remember that. So the hand of the Lord can be very, very heavy upon us. Yes, remember that. Let us remember that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Let's hide God's word in our heart and let his word operate in our lives every day so that we may be able to live lives that are pleasing to him. In closing, I'd like us to read a few verses from the book of Romans. Please turn with me to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 6, verses 11 to 13. Romans 6, 11 to 13. Romans 6, 11 to 13. 11. Paul says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. That's what we must be doing every day. Reckon, count, regard ourselves as being dead to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Reckon ourselves to be alive through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Let us realize that sin no longer has dominion over us. We have the resurrection power to live victorious Christian lives. We are no longer servants to sin. Verse 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Every day there must be this daily yielding unto the Lord, and the Lord by his resurrection power will enable us to live lives that are victorious, lives that are pleasing to him, lives that will bear a good testimony for him. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the lessons that we learn from your word. Teach us, O Lord God, that you love us so much that you want to keep us to be close to you all the time. Lord, we ask that you forgive us because we realize that many times we are wayward. We have not been diligent in doing those things that we ought to be doing, such as our quiet time. Father, we pray that you will enable us to be very serious, diligent in doing our quiet time and to be seeking you every day. And help us, O Lord God, every day to have this holy discipline, to recognize the old man in us as having been crucified with the Lord Jesus Christ. And help us to realize that we are alive in him, dead to sin, but alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. And help us, O Lord God, to realize that we have this resurrection power in us to live lives that are glorifying to you. Help us, O Lord God, that we may never backslide. Enable us to every day live our lives with fear and with trembling, working out our salvation with fear and trembling. And that, Lord, we pray that we may be able to glorify your holy name through our daily living, keeping close to you, observing our quiet time every day. For we pray and ask all these things in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.